haircut. We're doing our new series, Judaism Head to Toe. We were up to the mouth. Last night we discussed meat and milk, and we discussed the dishes that have to be separate. We discussed that cutlery, generally the smooth is going to be milchik, and the one with the design is going to be meat, fleishik. We discussed ensuring that our spreads remain parv. If you're going to schmear a hot dog with mustard, you shouldn't re-dip that knife into the mustard with the oil from the hot dog. We discussed having separate salt shakers for meat, milk, and parv. We discussed the idea that because of the steam that comes up, we discussed the idea that when you pour from a tea kettle into a pot of meat or milk, you're doing something inappropriate. You should pour it from the parv tea kettle into a cup, and the cup, fleishik meat, whatever it is, into your pot of milk or meat, because otherwise, again, the steam or the splattering hits the parv pot. So that was last night's class, a quick review. Tonight, we begin the discussion of actually eating meat and milk. And we discussed earlier, two or three classes ago, that meat products have to be kosher, not only a kosher animal, they have to be slaughtered kosher, they have to have the non-kosher fats removed, and they have to be salted properly. So when we buy meat with a hechsher, it has to have undergone all of this process. Sometimes in Israel you can buy liver that is not koshered. People like to kosher their own liver. That involves washing, salting, slicing. We slice it properly, we salt it, and then we roast it. A liver is koshered through salting. But that's not our topic tonight. Tonight we're going to talk about the consumption of meat and dairy. So when it comes to kashrut and meat, we have to be very stringent. We're dealing with a biblical issue that the meat can be non-kosher meat deoraita if it's a non-kosher animal, if it didn't undergo kosher slaughtering, if there are non-kosher fats mixed in. When we speak about meat, we are dealing with an isur deoraita, as opposed to the question of fruits and vegetables, where the question of whether they were tithed correctly or shemitah are rabbinic questions. The question of meat is very often a question of doraita. That's point number one. Yes, sir?
A second on the liver. On the barbecue, does that have to go through the same process? It's like on a mandal?
I don't understand the question.
You have to still roast the blood out when you throw it on a... You know, there are a lot of people, they roast the liver when they buy it before they cook it.
Yeah.
When you do a mangal, you still have to do that? Because it's hot.
It's a long answer.
Okay.
Because part of your problem is that the blood that comes out of the liver is not kosher. So that's why we don't roast the liver on a regular mangal. We have a separate grate for it, because otherwise the blood coming out is not kosher and gets absorbed into the grate. So that's a separate question. We can't deal with it. Now I would like to have a class, show and tell, bringing in a liver and kashering it.
Okay.
I would like to, as Hashem, down the road, it's one of the things I would like us to do. So we see it. We see it practically. But for now, that includes our class of shechting, which you guys did not remind me. But let's stick to the topic. Our topic is meat. So meat has to have a good hechsher. Same as a meat restaurant. Let's say you are feeding your child, and so you're not eating meat, you're just chewing it for the child. Once upon a time, as in 40 years ago, they didn't have processed food for children. The parents would chew it and give it to the child. Some foods you could mash, you know, you can mash a banana and give it to the kid. Some foods you have to chew. Kid can't chew meat, so you chew the meat and give it to the child. Are you fleishiks? Do you have to wait 6 hours? We know that after we eat meat, we wait 6 hours till we eat milk. The reason we wait, two reasons. Number one, meat might get caught between the teeth. Number two, the flavor of the meat takes 6 hours to digest. And that is why if you chew the meat but don't swallow it, you have to wait 6 hours. If you eat meat soup but you didn't chew any meat, you still have to wait 6 hours. Because soup that had meat cooked inside is fleishik. That soup has the flavor, which it will take 6 hours to digest. Those who have the custom to wait 3 hours go with their custom, 1 hour go with their custom. But you have to wait whatever your custom is. The general custom is 6 hours, whether you chewed meat or you drank soup with meat. Not yet. In general, guys, when you have questions, let's finish a topic, because if the question throws us off topic, then we don't finish the topic. I lose my train of thought. Sometimes you have an oven, which is a meat oven, and now you're going to make yourself a toast in that oven. So you cannot smear butter on that toast, obviously. Do you have to wait 6 hours? No, you do not. Let's say you had roast on the top shelf cooking, roast chicken. On the bottom shelf, you made yourself potato kugel. The potato kugel is parv. Oh, it's not exactly parv because you made it in an oven that was meat, or you made it in an oven as you were roasting chicken. So you shouldn't eat that with milk, but you don't have to wait 6 hours. We will revisit this point, Bezrat Hashem, on Thursday night with the question of, if I cooked potatoes in a meat pot, can I eat that with my sour cream? So there, I want to put together a chart. Ashkenazim, Sfaridim, what's mutal lechatchila b'dieved? So we will visit that question, Bezrat Hashem, on Thursday night. But for now, what's relevant to us is, A, if I've eaten meat, B, if I've chewed meat, C, if I've had a meat soup, even though I didn't chew anything, I just drank the soup, I wait whatever amount of time, we'll assume 6 hours, before I eat milk. Now, what constitutes milk? So all milk that comes from an animal, it doesn't matter if it's farmer cheese or goat's cheese or ram's cheese or cow's cheese, all milk that comes from an animal is, from our perspective, milk. If you have soy milk, that didn't come from an animal, it came from soybeans, that's not milk, that's parv. If you have almond milk, that didn't come from animals, that's parv. But the milk that comes from animals is milk. It doesn't matter which animal it came from. Any milk that we would buy at the store or cheese that we would buy, any kosher cheese or milk, is going to be milk that you have to wait, we'll assume, 6 hours after you've eaten meat. Now, when it comes to buying milk products, so we know that we don't eat meat with milk, but we don't even put them on the same table together. We're supposed to have a separate tablecloth for meat or milk, or a placemat. The idea is, as it says in the Mishnah, two people that are friendly with one another might share with one another. So if I'm eating a cream cheese sandwich and you're eating a salami sandwich, we shouldn't be eating on the same table, because I might say, give me a piece of your sandwich and take a bite. Wait a second, but I have milk in my mouth. I'm eating my cream cheese sandwich. So Chazal said, you have to show the distinction that you're eating two different types of food and the two should not meet, excuse the pun. So you can do one of a few things, either eat on different tables or on different tablecloths or on different placemats, or take something which you're not using during the meal, assume you were not using this pack of tissues, and put it here and say, that's a sign to show us that I'm not, it's like a mechitza. It's a sign, assuming we're not using the pack of tissues in the meal, it's a sign that I'm eating my milk, you're eating your meat, we shouldn't share with one another. This will remind us not to share. You cannot take your cup of water and say, here's our sign. In a minute, I'm going to drink from this cup of water. That's not a sign. I won't remember it. So we can do one of those things in order to eat at the same table. Where this comes up as a side note, this idea that I shouldn't eat at the same table with someone else when our foods can't mix. So I'm eating kosher milk, he's eating kosher meat. We still can't eat at the same table without one of those aforementioned delineations. But this comes up in work. People sometimes sit at the same table and the coworker is eating non-kosher. So you have a problem eating at that table. Sometimes you come on Pesach, on Chol HaMoed, you're volunteering, you work on the ambulance, and the guy sitting next to you is eating his hummus sandwich. So he's eating something that's prohibited. I'll tell you, what do you want? It's angels, it's kosher. And you'll say, no, 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 it's Pesach, it's not kosher. And now I can't eat on the same table with him. So it's not only when we speak about eating meat and milk, it's also when two friends, when two acquaintances, when two people are eating next to one another, and one is eating kosher and the other one's eating not kosher, again, you have to have some kind of delineation to make sure you don't, by mistake, end up sharing the food.
You finish, and then your friends are at a cafe or something.
That's fine.
That's fine, okay.
Yes.
Someone who's not eating kosher, is the problem that you're accustomed to taking from him? Because if he doesn't eat kosher, you wouldn't be accustomed to taking it?
If it's a person's sibling or relative or friend, and
it's a friend. You don't think everything.
Maybe you don't. Maybe you do. Maybe people, when they sit at restaurants, do take from one another. You see it all the time. And sometimes people sit at the table and they take a cracker from the other guy. And on Pesach, you forget that a cracker's not kosher. I was there when a beggar came collecting. And as he came collecting, he offered candies. And the learned person sitting next to me gave him a donation and got a candy. And then we continue learning, and the next thing I know, he pops the candy in his mouth. And I tell him, you know, it's Pesach. You trust that guy that his candy's kosher of Pesach? He said, yeah, why not? Then he looks at the wrapper, and oh my gosh, it's not. You should have seen the guy spit it out, right? He didn't think twice. I said, you don't know him. I mean, he said, why would he give me something not kosher of Pesach? I said, I'm not sure he's noticing. You know, he doesn't mean bad. But he looked at the wrapper, and he saw it had some kinds of kidneys in it. So people do take from one another without noticing. Coming back to meat and milk, you had a question?
The first question was the problem, you said that it takes 6 hours to digest the meat. Is the problem that the meat and the milk mix in the stomach?
Or in your mouth? No, the problem isn't in your stomach. It's more that your saliva still has, you're still tasting the meat. It's that... No. No. Okay, so when it comes to milk, Chazal said that there's a special rabbinic institution that the milk has to be observed. There is a big temptation among people who make milk products to mix in their donkey milk, their horse milk. You have a horse, you have to milk it. What are you going to do with the milk? Throw it in with the other milk, make a little bit more money. Camel's milk. So Chazal said, if you're going to buy milk from a non-Jew, even though technically what's he going to do with the milk to make it non-kosher? Chazal said, no, we make a rabbinic institution. It must be Chalav Yisrael. It must be milk that was observed by a Jew. So this is recorded in the Mishnah. This has been the halacha for the last two millennium. When we buy milk from a non-Jew, it has to have been observed by a Jew for fear that they're mixing in other stuff. So that doesn't mean that in your parents' home you have to be concerned that they mixed in something into your milk. That's not what it means. What it means is that even though there are things, there are items which were simple up until half a century ago, there were items that were simple. You knew if you were buying fish, how they made fish. You were buying milk, you should have known how they made milk. There were cheeses that people bought without a hechsher. In Europe till today, there are many countries where the rabbinate will put out a list. The following foods are kosher, even though they don't have a kosher symbol. So that includes liqueurs, that includes bourbon, that includes chocolates, that includes fish, that includes cheeses. The different rabbinates will put out lists based on their verification that these items are made in a kosher way. But when it comes to milk, so the rabbi said, we have to be extra careful, we're concerned. And that's the concept of Chalav Yisrael. So approximately 70, 80 years ago, the Chazon Ish came up with a great leniency. The Chazon Ish said that he thinks that today the government supervision should count as though you had a Jew overseeing it, because the governments are keeping an eye on what's going on. So he wrote it as a thought, and then Rabbi Feinstein wrote it as a halachic ruling, that where you have government oversight, so then there's room to be lenient and consider it Chalav Yisrael. And nonetheless, Rabbi Feinstein said that a God-fearing person would still only eat Chalav Yisrael. So the American government that Rabbi Feinstein was talking about has a very powerful oversight organization called the FDA. And they really, they have their police force, they have helicopters, they have surveillance teams. They really make sure that there's no hanky-panky going on. They have chemistry labs, they take things apart. But when you move over to Europe and South America, and perhaps even Canada, I don't know what goes on in Canada, you suddenly encounter situations where you have small farms, mom and pop shops, where they're milking their own cows, and you have this container that travels from one farm to the next farm and collects the milk and then brings it to the large corporation. And there, the oversight is almost impossible. Who's going to come and check what's going on? It mixes in the container on the way back to the factory. And so it's not so clear that Rabbi Feinstein would have said his leniency with regard to all these other places. He said it in the United States. That's why I personally tell the guys at Machon Meir, you want to enjoy M&M's, just check that it was made in the United States. If it's imported from Egypt, Rabbi Feinstein didn't say it about Egypt. They have M&M's today. They have a lot of candy bars now that are being imported from Egypt. Who said you could eat it? You know, so the Rabbanut will write, authorized, no, these don't even have a Hechsher on them. I'm sorry, no. You have to look now. The Snickers bars, they're bringing in from Ireland. The M&M's, they're bringing in from Egypt.
Is it in Israel?
I'm talking about in Israel, by Tachana Merkazit, down the block. So if you're going to buy these items, if they're made in the United States, so they have an OU, and it says, L'ochlei chalav nochri, those who eat non-Jewish milk, well, you could rely on Rabbi Feinstein and enjoy the M&M's. If you're going on a date and your girl is a frummy girl or an FFB from birth, she might be very uncomfortable seeing you eating M&M's. It might not be a good idea. But technically, halachically, you're okay. She's not going to ask so many questions. She'll just say, whatever. We have another problem, and that is Avkat Chalav Nochri. Up until about 3 years ago, there was a big shortage in Israel of whey powder. In many food products, they use milk powder and whey powder. And they would import it from Europe. Now, the problem was, it was very hard to get mashgichim to go out to a farm where they have no Jewish population, they have no minyan, they have no Shabbat, they have nothing. How long is a mashgiach willing to stay there and oversee them milking the cows and manufacturing milk powder? So it was very difficult to obtain in Israel Chalav Yisrael milk powder unless it was very expensive, imported from the U.S. and the like. So people started relying on the opinion. There is an opinion that says that when it comes to milk powder, there you could be more lenient. The problem is that the chief rabbinate discovered that the milk powder also has mixed in all kinds of non-kosher ingredients, including blood. And so it's not so simple that anyone would permit this leniency of milk powder being from a non-Jew. And the whole idea was, I know it's kosher, there's a rabbinic stringency, does the rabbinic stringency apply to the powder as well? You can argue the case, but no one said it when now we've discovered that the powder has non-kosher ingredients mixed in. Then you have a real question of whether it's kosher. So that's why this whole leniency of using a non-Jewish milk powder is also problematic. And again, the Rabbanut, whose goal is to be lenient, is stringent on this matter. They've brought up this question. Their chemistry labs have dissected the milk powder and come up with troubling conclusions. So what did we discuss today? We said when it comes to meat, you need a very good hechsher. Meat, you're dealing with biblical prohibitions. So when it comes to meat, we said if you chew it or swallow it, even if you didn't chew it, it was in a soup, you wait 6 hours or whatever your custom is before you eat milk. We said if you ate something that was just cooked in the oven at the same time as meat, you don't have to wait the 6 hours. If you heated up a soup, if you heated up just water, you made yourself tea in a meat cup, in a fleisha cup, you don't have to wait in no 6 hours. And now the milk products, we said, you have an issue of Chalav Yisrael. Aside from the fact that they have to be kosher, you also have to ensure they were milked. The milking was overseen by a Jew. We brought the leniency of the Chazon Ish and Rav Moshe Feinstein. We said, Rav Moshe said it in the United States. It's not clear you could say it in other countries. And we discussed the issues with milk powder. So that's, in a nutshell, an overview of meat and milk, the consumption of meat and milk. When it comes to waiting between meat and milk, so there are different customs, and each person can adhere to their custom. The generally accepted custom is 6 hours. Yekis generally weight 3, and Dutch weight 1, and all of these customs have a basis, and every person can do in accordance with their custom. What? 6. The default is 6. Do 6 hours have to be 6 set of 24 hours, or do we go by the sundial and say that it's 6 sha'ot zmaniyot, 6 segments of the daylight hours? There's room to be lenient where necessary. Is it enough that you went into the 5th hour? There's room to be lenient. Do you count? Yes. Do you count the from the time you finished eating the meat or from the time you ended the meal? There's room to be stringent and only go by the end of the meal, but when necessary you can be lenient and go from when you finished eating the meat. It's more appropriate though to go from the end of the meal, from benching, and not from when you concluded the meat itself. Okay, so here we had a quick overview of meat and milk.